You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Is realizing the full value of your network just a dream? Intel is bringing AI everywhere, building solutions to help modernize and monetize 5G infrastructure, making it possible for telecommunications providers to expand services and drive efficiency by reducing costs and saving energy. The next wave of networks starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
Hi, I'm Ron Kraszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing, entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. Imagine having the resources of the largest wirehouses and the support of the boutique shops, but none of the bureaucracy to get in the way of you serving your clients. At Stifel, it's your business, your book, your clients. I always tell the advisors we're recruiting, I want you to come to Stifel and double or triple your business. Most of them laugh and shake their heads, but I'm serious. Don't take it from me. Take it from Stifel's number one finish in J.D. Power's 2023 U.S. Financial Advisor Satisfaction Study. So there's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicolaus and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
For the past several decades, Andrew Liveris has been one of the most important figures in American business. For 14 years, he served as a CEO of Dow, transforming that company from a chemical manufacturing company to one led by science and innovation. Currently, Andrew Liveris is involved in a number of business endeavors, including serving as chairman of Lucid Motors, an EV startup company. He also serves as an advisor to the Saudi Sovereign Wealth Fund. I sat down with Andrew recently in Lucid's showroom in New York to discuss his accomplishments and his future ambitions.
So I've interviewed many business people on this show, but very rarely have I interviewed anybody who has any interest in so many different continents. So you're doing something in Saudi Arabia, we'll talk about that. You're involved in things in Europe, in Australia, your native Australia. You are now the head of the Olympic committee. Is that right, for the next Olympics in Australia?
The 2032 Brisbane Olympics. They won the bid last year, and I'm the president of that to put it in place. And 2032, as you know, is 10 years, so that's an exciting project.
And in the United States, you were for quite some time, more than a decade, the CEO of Dow. Dow Chemical, initially they were called Dow, and you merged it with DuPont before you stepped down. Is that right?
Correct. Yes.
So let's go back to your beginning. You grew up in Australia. How did you manage to get to Dow and to the United States?
Yeah, the gene that got me to have wanderlust was because I grew up in a little multicultural town in northern Australia called Darwin. Lots of Asians, lots of Indigenous people, First Nations people, lots of immigrants like Greeks that came from these very poor areas. So I had this desire to go see where they were from and understand the places north of us, Indonesia, China, Asia and as a whole. The American, knowledge that I got was listening over the radio to You know, things like the JFK assassination and Man on the Moon. And, you know, we didn't have TV where I grew up. So I was just fascinated by America and what it offered the world. So that combination got me recruited out of campus. I didn't join a British company. I didn't join an Australian company. The companies that came by that were American were the ones that I was intrigued by. And Dow had the best recruiting line of them all for a 21-year-old. Join us and we'll show you the world. So that combination of where I grew up, what I was exposed to, and the Dow recruiting line.
Was your family a wealthy family?
No. Blue collar, as we would call them. Immigrants, my father. We lost our grandparents. He lost his parents, and so he raised his two younger brothers when he was 12. He became an apprentice and a carpenter, and he and his two brothers built a small fledgling building business in Darwin. And I was the first to go to university in my family.
So you graduate from university and you go to work at Dow and in Hong Kong initially?
They sent me down to a very cold part of Australia called Melbourne, which happened to have a lot of Greek people. I got cold redefined when I went to Michigan, but I thought it was cold at the time. I went there for 6 months and there was an accident in a factory in Hong Kong, and they sent four Australian engineers. I was one of them to go work to actually help the locals adjust to operating a complex chemical environment.
Okay, so Dow is a very famous chemical company, was for quite some time. And how did you go from Hong Kong with this Australian accent to an American company in the middle of the United States?
The visionaries that ran Dow in the 60s that led to my recruitment in the 70s had this view that to go international, you had to hire local, well before it was vogue. And they went around the world looking for people who were willing to go to these far-flung locations. Hong Kong at that time wasn't the sophisticated city that it is today. And basically, you know, what they did was they localized and grew talent locally, but kept a playbook. So I was spotted early by the then Dow leaders, and they started to move me around to test me in different places, mostly in Asia, and then eventually to the US.
Were you trained as an engineer? What was your skill set?
Chemical engineering, which, you know, when I look at today's world and I think about chemical engineering, the word chemical sort of puts you into a different place with a thought. It's really problem-solving engineering. And I learned how to be a problem solver by learning chemical engineering.
So you eventually moved to Dow headquarters, it's in Michigan, right? But what small city is it?
A little town called Midland, where the founder founded the company, and we're still headquartered there.
All right, so you moved there, and for how many years were you the CEO?
So just shy of 15. Of course, the last couple were in the merged entity, which my successor, then we've set up the demerger, and we can talk about that if you like, but certainly the 15 years included the last two as executive chairman of the Dow DuPont entity. But I led us into the merger, and the rationale behind that was a 10-year remake. We put a strategy in place in 2005, and we executed it over 10 years to move us back to an innovation-centric company. We had lost our way. We had commoditized. We had rested on the laurels of all of our previous inventions. And by the time the 90s and the 00s came around, we were really, our innovation chest was bare, our cupboard was bare. So we reconstituted an innovation in the company by changing the portfolio.
So you took Dow Chemical, you renamed it Dow at one point, took the chemical out of it, and then you merged it with DuPont.
Yeah.
And then you split the company into three different companies, is that right?
Yeah, so two amazing American iconic companies, 300 and so years of corporate history between them. DuPont founded on explosives, Dow founded on, you know, chlorine. You think about the corporate history in both of those, the portfolios they both had assembled by the time we hit this century were across a range of different applications, and there were many things to many markets. So what the premise of the case was, working with Ed Breen on the DuPont side, was we put the two together and separate them into more pure plays. So Dow Materials, the ag company, agricultural products, and of course the DuPont company, the new DuPont company, on specialty chemicals and plastics.
Now you stepped down as CEO of Dow a number of years ago. Did your wife say, when you're done being the CEO is the time you spend more time with me and stay at home, and now you're running around the world? So was she disappointed or is she happy to have you out of the house still?
Did she expect me to retire? No, she knew me better. The story on the Olympics is a classic. That call came, I don't know, 2 months ago on a Saturday. We're in Sydney in our living room. I got a call from the Premier of the state of Queensland saying, we'd like to offer you the presidency of the Olympics. I said, excuse me. And you know, I was aware Brisbane had won, so I didn't embarrass myself. But I said, can I get back to you? Can you tell me a little more and I'll get back to you? Yeah, but we want to announce it on Monday. I said, stop. Okay. So anyway, my wife said, who's that? And I told her, and she said, looked at me in the face. She said, you've got to take it. And I said, you know how busy I am, right? And she said, I know how busy you are, but you've got to take it because you're the right person to get it done. And if it means you've got to drop some things, but take it. That's the type of partner I am.
Hi, I'm Ron Kraszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. Imagine having the resources of the largest wirehouses and the support of the boutique shops, but none of the bureaucracy to get in the way of you serving your clients. At Stifel, it's your business, your book, your clients. I always tell the advisors we're recruiting, I want you to come to Stifel and double or triple your business. Most of them laugh and shake their heads, but I'm serious. Don't take it from me. Take it from Stifel's number one finish in J.D. Power's 2023 U.S. Financial Advisor Satisfaction Study. So, there's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline. It's teamwork. And it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at stifel.com. That's STIFEL.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
How did you wind up to be the chairman of an automobile company when you hadn't really been in that industry?
I think the manufacturing thematic that I had throughout my whole career, wrote a book on it, Making It America, made me an attractive candidate to a whole host of different companies around the world, whether it be board or advisory. Certainly the Lucid experience was something I didn't predict, but it came really through my association with the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, who were the major investor in Altiva, the predecessor to Lucid. I got asked by the PIF to come in and help rebuild the company and create what you see here, which is a full-fledged EV company. First greenfield site EVs. Tesla did a modified site, right? So we built a greenfield site and it's up and running right now. So manufacturing was a big piece of my expertise that was attractive to joining the Lucid experience.
So Saudi Aramco is now the most valuable company in the world. Is that right?
Yes.
And your involvement is that you're on the board of it.
Yes.
And do you see energy prices or oil prices coming down in any time in the near future, or you think they're going to be over $100 a barrel for quite some time?
Commodity markets, as you must know, well know in your storied career, David, impossible to give you an answer other than, you know, the most important dynamic of them all is climate change and CO2 emissions, and how can we make oil and gas, and for that matter, coal before, but I think coal is destined to be phased out. But oil and gas and our addiction to it and the transition that is needed to get CO2 out of the air will eventually dampen demand. EVs, which I'm sure we'll talk about soon, EVs alone, electrification of the transportation market, will see a dampening of demand, but it's impossible to predict in a short term. How do you predict a war, Russia, Ukraine, and the effect that it had on commodity prices? So we will go through periods, a zigzagged line, if you like, of pricing for some years to come. And I can't tell you whether it's going to be high or low. No one can.
But Saudi Arabia, which has an enormous amount of oil, seems to be interested in finding ways to do things that are not related to oil, and electric vehicles is one of them, I guess. Is that right?
Yeah, diversification. The Vision 2030 that was put in place, and you're quite familiar with, by His Highness the Crown Prince, has a big piece of it to diversify away from oil and to go into other businesses and other activities that might be related, so chemicals and plastics and downstream, creating a circular carbon economy, hydrogen, and going to the green economy, solar, renewables as general, wind, nuclear power. This diversification on the energy mix is a big part of the Vision 2030 plan. And that's what Aramco and others in the kingdom are driving.
Let's talk about Lucid for a moment. You're the chairman of Lucid.
Yes.
And it's an electric vehicle company. Tesla seems to be so far ahead of everybody else. How do you compete with Tesla when they have such a large share of that market?
This is a technology business. So in your earlier question about how did I get involved, I said manufacturing. Well, manufacturing is an interesting word being used for a couple hundred years in humanity as we obviously went up the technology ladder. Humans are inventive and innovative because of technology advantages. Lucid offers a technology advantage and beats everyone right now and is being recognized for it. Firstly is the distance we can travel without needing, you know, to charge, and that's over 500 miles, EPA certified. Second is our charging time. We can actually get a recharge of up to 300 miles in 22 minutes. That's technology. Those two topics are all about technology. The car and its surrounds is aesthetically beautiful. It drives fantastically. It's absolutely, totally a luxury car and clearly an experience. And the software that supports it is also technology. So what we've been doing at Lucid is homing in on the technology side of differentiation. Is there room for a Tesla and a Lucid and a bunch of others? Of course. I mean, we are going to see EVs as the primary mode of transportation in our lifetime.
Now, where does Lucid manufacture its cars?
Arizona, Casa Grande, Arizona, just outside of Phoenix.
And if I wanted to go buy one, where do I go buy one? Do you buy them online or do you come to a showroom like this and they cost about $5,000 a piece or something like that?
You are in the right place to buy one. We can maybe hopefully sell you one as you leave. We have a retail strategy. We go directly retail and service centers around the country. We're opening up retail centers as we speak in Europe, but we have them in the United States, and this is an example of one. And no, the price point is not $5,000. We have a price point at the high-end luxury end. Our competition is Porsche, BMW, Audi.
You're trying to be an electric vehicle for high-end cars.
At this point in time, that's our strategy. We've got the Dream, the Grand Touring. We've got the Air, and then the SUV, the Gravity. These price points are north of $100,000, with the Dream at about $160,000-$170,000. But clearly, that's the luxury end. The mass market end, where General Motors and Ford and others are, you know, pointing themselves, is obviously the big opportunity. We'll eventually get there, but we've made no announcements.
And do you have one of these cars?
I do. I was an early buyer at full price. I felt it was important that I demonstrate my support for the team. I'll never forget the amazing drive I had in it. I have it down in Florida, where my residence is. I drove it, drove to Palm Beach and drove around there. And every time I stopped, I had people looking at me. And I knew it wasn't me. It was clearly the car. And then I parked it. And I will kid you not, It was like a mob scene around me. It was one of the, I think it was the second car in Florida, so clearly it had not been seen. I valet parked it at this hotel where I was having dinner, and the gentleman wanted to compete with the other gentleman to valet park. He said, can I drive it? And actually I said, you know what, maybe I should park it myself. And so it's an attractive car, and it really drives supremely well.
Let's talk about the roads on which these cars drive. So you've been an advisor to the President of the United States on infrastructure and manufacturing, but on infrastructure, you've been involved with the legislation that was passed not long ago. Why is the United States infrastructure so terrible compared to so many other wealthy countries?
Well, you know, I have been around U.S. politics like you for a couple of decades and have served a variety of presidents from the different parties. And the attitude in the United States is obviously to keep taxes low and keep the public spend under control. And the word control is interesting. But that stops forward thinking in terms of planning. And therefore, the short-termism around our fiscal policies has hurt us. I mean, in essence, infrastructure is a long-term return. And to get a long-term return, putting it into private hands is one way of doing it. But really, the public side of life has to be willing to do the forward spend. The forward spend on airports and roads and EV charging stations has to come from the public domain. Now, raising taxes to spend money on infrastructure means you've got to trust the people doing the spending. And I think the public-private model is the way to go there, which is actually create an infrastructure bank that is U.S. public company owned or public sector owned that has private sector matching funds. I think that sort of breakthrough has yet to occur in the United States. So where we go is tax and spend, which unfortunately one side of the aisle disagrees.
Hi, I'm Ron Kraszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. Imagine having the resources of the largest wirehouses and the support of the boutique shops, but none of the bureaucracy to get in the way of you serving your clients. At Stifel, it's your business, your book, your clients. I always tell the advisors we're recruiting, I want you to come to Stifel and double or triple your business. Most of them laugh and shake their heads, but I'm serious. Don't take it from me. Take it from Stifel's number one finish in J.D. Power's 2023 U.S. Financial Advisor Satisfaction Study. So there's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline. It's teamwork. And it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at stifel.com. That's STIFEL.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
So what is it that you look back on your career with and say, this is what I'm most proud of having done?
As you know, the old adage, right? Who's at your bedside in that final gasp? You know it's your close family. And you know, obviously I'm very blessed that way. But the wider ecosystem. Last night I did a 1-hour interview of Arvind Krishna, the CEO of IBM, to my academy. I've created an academy at my alma mater, and it's to teach 21, 22-year-olds, and lately we've been introducing postgrads, leadership in the modern century.
But do you think business leaders have an obligation to do more than just make profits for their shareholders? Do you think they should be more socially responsible, more worried about ESG than 20, 30 years ago?
The rules are changing. What should be the new rules? Who knows? Who's working on them? Is it just government? No. Is it just business? No. NGOs? No. Citizens? Yes. But many of them don't know how to direct their inputs. So the collective needs to get together. Our problem is top down isn't working. Top down institutions are not winning over the people they're affecting. So bottom up needs to occur and meets top down in some way, which is what? Which is awareness groups, community sessions, town halls, knowing what your employees think, being available to them, ubiquitously communicating to get the sentiment. What's the sentiment? The sentiment is what's going on out there in terms of inequality, lack of inclusion, this notion on environmental responsibility, digitalization and privacy. The issues of our time need to be integrated into your strategy.
Now, your first book was about manufacturing. And manufacturing is something the United States has thought by many people not to be as good at as we were 40, 50 years ago. Is that fair or not? That's a perception, at least.
Yes, that's fair. And I addressed it in the book because we think smokestacks and we think of rivers on fire. When we use the word, branding is everything. And today, everything gets branded in a heartbeat, right, through Instagram and you name it. And as a result of that, there's a perception that manufacturing is yesterday's sector. And that is so erroneous because pretty much everything in modern life is made. I used to say at Dow, we've only got three functions, okay? To invent, to make, and to sell. The rest is overhead. And the make part is actually very connected to the invent part. China was brilliant in its strategy through the 30 years of Deng Xiaoping because it attracted assembly and then insisted on R&D. There were only 10 R&D labs foreign owned in China in 1990. By 2010, there were 40,000 foreign R&D labs. Why? Because they wanted to know not just how to make and assemble, they wanted to invent all the way back to the material, to the battery, to the products. And to do that, they needed R&D. Manufacturing and R&D live together, okay? They live together through prototyping and scaling. And the topics of invention and innovation are in manufacturing because you actually learn while you make. And then when you digitize, you learn more. Digitizing manufacturing is a massive innovation opportunity. And frankly, one of the things that the United States is phenomenal at is we know how to innovate and be entrepreneurs and how to scale. But if we've lost our ability to actually make, then we start to atrophy the innovation side.
Well, the conventional wisdom is that the United States can't manufacture things at costs that are attractive to markets. So that's why we've outsourced it. Do you think that's unfair?
It was fair during what I call the loss of industries such as textiles and footwear and clothing, which were very labor intensive. It's completely not the case with things that make the iPhone, okay, and all the circuitry and semiconductors and high-end technology content parts, EVs. This is where the United States is actually the best at, and it's not labor cost driven. So offshoring and outsourcing and moving things for labor costs, fine, they went to countries that have lower labor costs, the Bangladeshes and the Vietnams, but the high-end manufacturing, the quality manufacturing, for today's and tomorrow's technology innovations, we should be the epicenter of that right here in this country because the labor cost is actually not the relevant cost. The relevant cost is actually the raw material, the supply chain, and we have the market. This is one of the few countries in the world that can say, I'm one country, I have a massive market, And by the way, I'm endowed with a lot of people and natural resources. That's manufacturing.
Now, you are an immigrant to the United States, and your grandparents were immigrants to Australia. Immigrants, as often said, have a capacity to work very hard to prove themselves, to move up the ladder. So do you feel you have an immigrant mindset that has pushed you to do all these things?
I think my story as growing up in an immigrant family where English wasn't the first language at home, it was Greek. And
you speak Greek now?
I do, yeah.
And, is that useful a lot, I guess, when you're talking to the Olympic committees?
Never thought of that, but yes, it's probably useful for that. I think the immigrant backstory I have really drove me to work hard, but also to make a difference, and a very American trait. What attracted me to America this very day, and don't want to embarrass you, you're a great example of it, is the amazing giving back that occurs in this country. And not enough of us know a lot about it. It gets a few headlines. So I mentioned the tax and spend thing as being a detriment to building modern infrastructure, but on the other side, Americans are charitable and give and care about making a difference in their community. That's what Dow showed me, and that's what I and my wife Paula and I live today. That American way to an immigrant means that for the next immigrants, we can make their life better.
So for somebody who's watching this and wants to be a successful global business leader, what are the skill sets? Is it hard work, learning how to read well, keep continuously reading, learning how to be a good speaker? What are the skill sets that you think somebody really needs?
One of the things that I would add to that list, I agree with all of that, that I would do, and I still do to this very day, is I would prepare well before I got the job or was given the nod. I would know as much about what I was about to be offered or to do before I actually did it. I would read, I would talk well before the days of the iPhone. I would go to the library. I remember my father knocking on the door was the Encyclopedia Britannica salesman. Remember those books? There were 12 of them, right? And I begged him to buy them, and he said, only if you read them all. And I read them all, and I was 12. And so I think preparing so that when you get the right to talk, you have the podium, when you have the right to say something, you actually have the knowledge to speak to it. I think people have gotten bored with facts. So you've got to blend it with interest. So personalize the facts, show examples, and then demonstrate it yourself. I think that cycle of teaching needs to be introduced, certainly in our education system, but in real life.
So what did your parents say to their neighbors? We have an unusual 12-year-old who's sitting here reading the Encyclopedia Britannica.
It wasn't an era where you were told to read. You know, these days, of course, parenting is forcing kids to get off the TV and reading. But no, it was nothing I really noticed. It wasn't seen as odd.
Thanks for listening. To hear more of my interviews, you can subscribe and download my podcast on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you listen.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline, it's teamwork, and it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest-growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle-market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at stiefel.com. That's STIEFEL.com.
Stifel Nicolaus and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy, of advancing education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take and Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.